Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most vital segment of our society. To those of you like me who know that there's something dreadfully wrong with the political and religious institutions which govern and control our nation, who recognize the considerable malfeasance inherent in the media, the military, and also with regard to economic influences. We realize that these institutions are the problem. They are not part of the solution. So instead of trying to rearrange the deck chairs on our sinking ship of state, our mission is to scour the news, looking behind the headlines, so that we know who is causing the tragedies that are besieging our planet, and so that we come to understand why these institutions are doing so, all while predicting how their ill-advised and inappropriate plans will continue to influence our world. Based upon the plague of adverse political, religious, military, and economic influences, we have at the very most 15 to 20 years left until all hell is unleashed. A complete economic collapse, world war, unrelenting propaganda, and killings that will number in the billions. Therefore, in our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through evidence and reason, since His guidance regarding His covenant provides the only escape from what will become planet hell. If you would like to participate in this discussion, we encourage you to do so toll-free, 877-300-7645. Before I turn to an item in the news, I want to apologize for the Billy Graham commercial that is routinely running on this station. I have done everything I can do to encourage the Genesis Communication Network to sever its relationship with Salem Radio News. And it's because of commercials like this one. I want to state unequivocally that this program, I myself and God Himself, is overtly opposed to everything Billy Graham and his business promote. If you would like to be led away from God, listen to him. I'd intended today to continue with the article that we were discussing yesterday, which is a CNN report out of Washington, D.C., that the U.S. government is sponsoring a program called START, which scours newspaper articles to determine how many terrorist acts are perpetrated in the world and then tracks them. And we will indeed return to that article because there's much to be learned, although almost all of it negative, from what has been reported and what they are doing. But there was an item in the news that struck me as being far more timely and important today. I've long said that of everyone who has occupied the White House, that there has been none who are as overtly dishonest as Barack Hussein Obama. Virtually everything the man says is a lie. You know, there have been horrible presidents, and I'm not a Republican. I'm not one who engages in politics. I was consistently opposed to most everything George Bush said and did. So when I tell you that no one has ever lied as grotesquely, as uniformly, as bluntly as this president, that's a serious accusation from a nonpartisan. Now, the accusation we're going to discuss today happens to be the one that the president routinely makes, where he says that if you like your current health care plan, you will not be required to change it based upon the present implementation of the Affordable Care Act, known as Obamacare. That is a bold-faced lie. If you like your current policy, you will not be able to keep it. And that will be true with 100% of Americans. There will be no exceptions. And the man knows it. Now, as a lie, that one is fairly significant because one of the biggest expenses for 85% of Americans is their health care. One of the biggest concerns for a huge percentage of Americans is their health care insurance and health care provisions. And to completely destroy the systems that they have come to rely upon and to make them obsolete, which is what this administration is doing, so that all Americans will have to become completely dependent upon government for their health care, is precisely what this administration is seeking to do. And it is doing so in an area that is not only the largest government expenditure. Health care is by far the largest segment of the U.S. federal budget. It is also the fastest growing, the most out of control. It has grown from nothing in the mid-1960s to the point now where it is approximately 35% of federal government expenditures, and it is growing at a rate that is like a wildfire raging through a forest. And so the Affordable Care Act actually makes private health insurance unaffordable, requiring everyone to depend upon government. And it increases the number of people who are insured by the government, providing them with the very kinds of coverage that the president demeaned and called Cadillac policies, which will bankrupt the country all the more readily. So I want to begin by reviewing an article that appeared today. It was posted by Reuters, and then we're going to transition into an article that was presented by an organization called Fact Checked. Reuters. The U.S. government's top healthcare official said on Wednesday, this was at a congressional hearing, that private insurance companies, not President Obama's signature healthcare law, are to blame for hundreds of thousands of people losing their coverage in the past few weeks. Well, actually, it's not hundreds of thousands. It's actually millions of people who are losing their health care coverage and have done so in the last few weeks. And it is expressly because of the Affordable Care Act that they have lost their coverage. In other words, everything the woman said was a complete lie. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius called the debut of the Affordable Care Act a diabolical. And she sought to assure skeptical lawmakers at a congressional hearing that the administration will fix the technical flaws with the website. Now, before I return to the lie blaming the private insurance companies for their own demise, as opposed to accepting responsibility that it is the Affordable Care Act that has destroyed private insurance companies' ability to provide affordable care, let's turn to the website. Do you know that there are 2.2 billion websites worldwide? I have seven of them. Seven of 2.2 billion. Do you know that Americans are now being asked to trust their health care to a government which routinely lies, which is run by economic dunderheads who have not only bankrupted the nation, but even with an army of consultants and $500 million, couldn't build a website that works, given more than 3 years to do so? The biggest websites on the planet today are Google in terms of traffic. This would be the Alexa's ratings. Traffic would be Google. In fact, Google's has probably 8 or 9 websites that are in the top 100, but just its main website is number one overall. Facebook is number two. YouTube, 3. Yahoo, Wikipedia, Amazon, Twitter, and Taobao. You know, there isn't a single government website in the top 100 in the Alexa ratings, not one. Which means that every top-performing website in the world is a product of business. All of them were built and guided by that business's management and staff. There isn't a single top-rated website in the world that was built by government or that is managed by government, nor one that was built by consultants, as the Obamacare site was designed. The areas of commerce and the areas of of overall interaction that are provided by the top 100 Alexa-rated sites are topped, of course, by search engines. Very complicated websites and algorithms. And all of those search engines offer enormous array of support services for their users, including email capabilities for the world's 144 billion email users. They are rife with social networking sites, which is really all the government healthcare site was designed to do, to be a networking site. Video share. Many are commerce-oriented. E-commerce is an extraordinarily complex being. It is far more difficult to build an effective e-commerce site than to build what the government was offering via healthcare.gov. There are, of course, encyclopedias. There are news sites, instant messaging sites, technical support sites, blogging sites, chat sites, software sites, all within the top 100. And, of course, there are porn sites. Not a single government site is among the top 100 because the government doesn't do anything that people freely choose to participate in. The government is inept. Today, I heard Biden speaking on behalf of the administration and their bungled healthcare website saying, you know, we aren't technical geeks or anything, and so we just assumed that it would all work out. Healthcare.gov, which opened for enrollment at the beginning of the month on October 1st, ironically went down over the course of a four-hour hearing in front of Congress. But even as Sebelius acknowledged that the administration should have done more to ensure the website would work, she blamed private insurers for a separate problem that has critics questioning the administration's honesty and the administration's competence. When asked by Republican Representative Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee what she would say to Americans receiving cancellation notices because their policies are not compliant with the new law, Sebelius said, insurance companies cancel individual policies year in and year out, end quote. That wasn't all she had to say. She would go on to lie. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. If you pay attention to the Republican representative's question, this would be Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, you will see that the secretary of the Obama administration for Health and Human Services deliberately skirted the question. The question was, what would she say to Americans receiving cancellation notices because their policies are not compliant with the new law? To which she just said, insurance companies cancel individual policies year in and year out. The question was, what about the millions of Americans that have had their policies canceled because they are not in compliance with the new law? Didn't want to answer that question, did she? And she will go on to lie. The fact is that those millions of health insurance policies are being canceled because that's a requirement of the new law. If you're not willing to offer coverage, if your policy does not offer coverage in 10 areas, many of which, most of which, the vast preponderance of policies do not offer coverage in all 10 of those areas, then it is no longer viable. It must be withdrawn from the marketplace. That's why those policies are being canceled. And the secretary knew it. There is no way. It's impossible, absolutely impossible, to offer affordable health care which complies with the new affordable care regulations. It is a lose-lose game, with Americans all losing. Obama and other administration officials have repeatedly promised that the 85% of Americans who already have health insurance would be able to keep their current plans. That's a complete and utter lie. Now, even if we don't tackle the lie right now, let's at least look at the percentages. 85% of Americans have health insurance. So the Democrats are going to completely destroy the private health care industry, the best in the world, and then blame the industry for its own demise to offer another freebie to 15% of Americans, those Americans who are providing the least contribution to the country and who are the biggest parasites of the country, thereby robbing between 70 and 85% of Americans who are receiving the world's best Medicare and medical care, the ability to do so at an affordable price. Now, Medicare represents 15% of those that were listed as having coverage. So of the 85%, 15% are covered by Medicare. Now, that is not the complete story, however, because the majority of Americans who have Medicare have a supplement policy that picks up the omissions in Medicare. And they do so because there's a huge percentage of hospitals and healthcare providers that won't take a pure Medicare patient because Medicare has decided that it would only pay about 60% of the rate that hospitals and doctors charge for their services, meaning that they lose money with every Medicare customer. Something that they cannot continue to do and provide medical services. Now, from 1999 to 2012, the Bureau, this would be the Census Bureau, said that the proportion of people with private health insurance declined to 64%. That was a decline from 73%. So over from 1999 to 2012, those 13 years, the number of people that had private health insurance actually declined, almost 10%, while the proportion with government coverage rose to 33%, which is the whole purpose of all of this. The purpose of all of this, the same purpose of Social Security, the purpose of Medicare, the purpose of food stamps, the purpose of welfare, the purpose of much higher taxation, particularly on businesses and individuals, is to make everyone in the country dependent upon the government. Now, the problem with all of that is the government isn't reliable, and it is the businesses that government is bankrupting through its regulations, through its taxation, that pay for 100% of the services that government provides. So that when government, which is itself a parasite, siphons the lifeblood out of industry, which it is doing at an ever-increasing rate, there is nothing left, because it is that industry whose lifeblood pays for everything that the government does. We'll return to Shattering Myths and this healthcare lie after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. The proportion of children younger than 19 without health insurance declined last year. It's now 9.2%. Here's a newsflash. If you are not prepared or willing to get married, to become gainfully employed, so that you can shelter, feed, clothe, educate, and care for children, do not have them, and then demand that others pay for them. Because the new health care law requires insurers to offer a much, much higher level of coverage, millions upon millions of Americans on individual coverage plans are going to see their policies canceled at the end of the year. And all of those whose policies aren't canceled are going to face much higher monthly payments for new plans that in many cases are way beyond what they can afford. The Affordable Care Act is going to make health care unaffordable for the vast preponderance of Americans. That is the reality. And it will require every American to give up their existing policy, no matter how much they like it. Sebelius said that private insurers were making business decisions by canceling some members' coverage. The Affordable Care Act protected policies made before it was signed into law in 2010, she said. Both of those statements are 99% false, and they are bridging on being 100% false. You see, these insurance companies are not making business decisions by canceling the members' coverage. They are responding to the newly imposed government health care regulations. They have no choice. Just like Google and Facebook and Twitter and the like, they have no choice when the federal government says, you're going to allow us to spy on all of your users and monitor every click when they go to Verizon and say, you're going to let us listen into every phone call made by any one of your customers. These businesses don't have any choice. It's the same thing with the healthcare providers. They don't have any choice. The government imposed new regulations. Those new regulations make it impossible for them to offer affordable healthcare. That was by design. Why? Because the government wants 100% of Americans dependent upon government. Just as a reminder, the current Great Recession that we are still slogging our way through, this month was especially abysmal as it related to free enterprise and the number of jobs created in the free enterprise sector, the private sector of the economy. Well, the Great Recession was caused because the government interfered with and passed new regulations which banks and businesses had to respond to. These were imposed on home loans, and it was through these home loans that the government regulations caused the current Great Recession. Now they're infringing on health care and are going to do exactly the same thing. The protections of existing policies that the Secretary Sebelius referred to are non-existent. Obama and Sebelius know it, because it was the Office of Health and Human Services, the Department of Health and Human Services of this administration, that actually drafted the provisions relative to existing policies. There is no possible way whatsoever to offer or to keep an existing policy. And so all of the president's promises that you can go ahead and ignore the expansion of government health care through the Affordable Care Act, because if you're part of the 85% of Americans that like your current policy, that are currently insured via a policy, you can keep your policy. That's an overt lie. It is impossible to offer it or to keep it. She said, this would be the secretary, said that those who lost coverage were victims. Yeah, they were victims, all right, but of the government. But she will say that they are victims of the private insurance industry that was responding to the new government regulations. She says that they are victims of a market long known for discriminating against the sick and selling inadequate coverage, shortcomings that the law known as Obamacare was designed to fix. People are on their own. They can be locked out, priced out, dumped out, she said. Now, they're being dumped out. They're being priced out. They're being locked out because of the law that she is promoting. It is the express reason that they are being dumped out, priced out, and locked out. That is why they're on their own. Those statements revealed the innate hostility of socialists, like this woman, for the free enterprise system, like Obama for the free enterprise system. They're overtly hostile to it. They despise it. And yet it pays 100% of the bills. It is the only thing that allows government to offer anything. Now, if you like the way that you were delayed for an hour and then had your freedoms violated and you were searched at the airport by the TSA, then you'll love what these buffoons do to healthcare. This particular article notes that Republicans have sought to derail the healthcare overhaul since Obama took office in 2009, culminating with a 16-day government shutdown earlier this month, which they went on to besmirch the Republicans on. Turns out the Republicans were right. They drew their line in the sand on Obamacare, and they were right. It's destructive. It's not something that should be forced on the American people. It is the final nail in our coffin. The website's woes, the article says, and insurance plan terminations have given Republicans more ammunition. For those, this is a quote, who lose their coverage, they may also lose their faith in the government, said Republican Representative Fred Upton. Opinion polls show that most Americans blame the Republicans for that standoff. They don't blame the law because most Americans choose not to do their homework. Most Americans, some slight majority of Americans, are parasites in the government, and they continually think it is appropriate to rob those who are productive, to continue to further their indulgences, not knowing that they're actually robbing their own children. President Obama, in a speech to the American Medical Association, this was the keynote speech for Obamacare, June 15, 2009. This is as the health care law was being written. Quote, that means that no matter how we reform health care, we will keep this promise to the American people. If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor, period. If you like your health care plan, you will be able to keep your health care plan, period. No one will take it away, no matter what. It's an absolute lie. He knew it at the time. It is impossible to keep your health care plan, no matter how much you like it. Impossible. It has been taken away by the U.S. government, by the Affordable Care Act. Obama remarked in Portland, April 1st, 2010, after the health care law was signed into law and was written by the Department of Health and Human Services under his supervision. He said, and if you like your insurance plan, you will keep it. No one will be able to take it away from you. It hasn't happened yet. It won't happen in the future. End quote. Untrue. And at that point, he knew unequivocally that it was untrue. If we were a moral country, we would impeach him on that statement because it affects so many people in such an important way. Then Valerie Jarrett tweeted on behalf of Obama on October 28th of 2013, just a few days ago, after NBC News aired a report that the Obama administration knew that millions of Americans would not be able to keep their health insurance no matter how much they liked their existing plan. Fact, she said, nothing in Obamacare, hashtag, forces people out of their health plans. No change is required unless insurance companies change their existing plans. It's an overt lie. She knew it, and soon you're going to know it. Let's take a step back in time and review these statements by the president and by one of the officers in his administration. Now that 2 million people have suddenly been required to get a new insurance plan, even before the Affordable Care Act, known as Obamacare, goes into full effect in 2014. The president's pledge that if you like your insurance, you will keep it, is one of the most memorable of his presidencies. This is not something that's over there on the side shelf, like him saying that America has never been at war with Islam, when in fact America's first war as a nation was fought against Islam. This is the centerpiece of his administration. It was an extraordinarily bold statement, and yet it was completely dishonest. A pledge that he could not possibly keep unless he was made dictator and then micromanager over the entire U.S. economy, over the entire healthcare industry, and over every insurance company, dictating how they must all perform. After Obama made his speech at the American Medical Association, the Associated Press ran this smart analysis. Quote, promises, promises, Obama's health care plan guarantee. That demonstrated how it would be responsible for keeping that pledge. The article noted that the Congressional Budget Office itself assumed that 10 million Americans would need to be required to seek new insurance under the bill. Meanwhile, the Republican weekly address on August 24 of 2009, as the law was being written, Representative Tom Price, a Republican from Georgia, and a doctor made this point. On the stump, the president regularly tells Americans, if you like your plan, you can keep it. But if you read the bill, it just isn't so. Within a number of years, every health care plan will have to meet new federal definitions for coverage, one that your current plan cannot affordably match, no matter how much you may like it, end quote. If you turn back to 2009, when the president was blowing smoke regarding his health care reform, one might have a tendency to excuse him as a politician for lying about the nature of the plan that his administration was currently drafting. But as it turns out, he kept on saying the same things that he now knew for certain were lies, even after the bill was signed into law. By that point, there should have been no question about the potential impact of the law on insurance plans, especially in the individual market. They would all be canceled. All of them, without exception. A key part of the law is forcing insurers to offer essential health benefits. A package providing coverage in all of the following 10 categories. The list includes ambulatory patient services. So, you know, if you want your little wheelchair, what do they call all those rascals, for example, your insurance company has to provide you with one. Providing coverage in these 10 categories, the 10 categories include not only ambulatory patient services, but emergency services, most of which cover that. Hospitalization, most of which cover that. But there will be no requirements on hospitalization that go beyond what the individual policies may provide. You'll have to have maternity and newborn care, even if you are an individual man, even if you are way beyond the childbearing age. It's not an option anymore. Your policy must have maternity and newborn care. Your policy must have mental health and substance use disorder services. Now, disorder, health, mental health, the drugs surrounding mental health are the primary cause for the mass shootings we're seeing in our schools today. And yet, these new policies must provide for mental health drugs and substances, as well as disorder services. You will have to have in your new policy behavioral health treatment. So, you know, if you want to go to the psychiatrist and get all the kinds of psychiatric drugs that are available, many of which are destroying people's ability to function within society, that has to be part of the policy. Even if you don't want it, even if you don't need it. Prescription drugs, the very thing that Bush made part of Medicare, that turned a surplus into a great deficit during his administration, was his first signed bill. Well, that now has to be part of every policy. Even if you say, you know, I can't afford that, if your policy doesn't offer it, it can't exist. Rehabilitative and habilitative services and devices all need to be covered. Laboratory services, preventive and wellness services, and chronic disease management, as well as pediatric services, including oral and vision care. Now, for almost all plans, this would be a huge change. In 2011, the Department of Health and Human Services noted 62% of enrollees do not have coverage for maternity services. That means that 62% of all existing policies are automatically invalid. They cannot be offered. You cannot have it anymore. 34% of enrollees do not have coverage for substance abuse because most people don't want it and don't need it. 18% of enrollees do not have coverage for mental health services. Don't need it, don't want it. 9% of employees don't have coverage for prescription drugs. Don't need it, don't want it. Very few plans offer dental or vision, which is why they are usually purchased separately, if at all. The law did allow, however, grandfathered plans for people who had obtained their health insurance before the law was signed on March 23rd of 2010. So you can keep your existing plan if you have an insurance plan that was written for over 3 years. If your insurance policy, health insurance policy, rather than having a year-to-year term, which 90% of them do or more, if your policy was written for a four-year term, you can keep it. Yeah, for about a month. Now, to escape this requirement and other aspects of the law, the regulations written by Health and Human Services, a department under the Obama administration, while implementing the law, set some very tough requirements so that an insurance company makes, if they make the slightest change to the health plan's benefits or how members through premiums or co-pays or deductibles are handled, then the plan is no longer grandfathered and it will be canceled. And since a $5 increase in a copayment is sufficient to perceive it to be an alteration, all will be canceled.